I don't know how many people see the Globe and Mail, but they had this wonderful spread just this past on Friday on how Canada is on the vanguard of adopting human rights. And in particular, it's about Bill C-16. And I just want to touch for a few moments before we introduce our guest on what that means. So the Canadian Senate passed Bill C-16, which protects Canadians from discrimination based on gender identity or expression, establishing Canada once again as a global leader in advancing LGBTQ rights. What is interesting is, as one person has written, it says, this marks a significant step towards recognizing transgender and gender-diverse communities as worthy of dignity and respect. And that's from Helen Kennedy, the executive director of EGAL, which advocates for the LGBTQ community. But in more than 70 countries, homosexuality remains a crime, and public pogroms are disturbingly common. European governments are now offering refuge to Chechen men who have been forced to flee the Russian Republic after local authorities began rounding them up and subjecting them to detention and torture. And in the Commonwealth, of which we are a part, 36 of its 52 members criminalize homosexual acts. This is important for us to remember on this, our Pride Sunday, and as we move into Pride Week and the celebration of the Pride Parade, of what the reality is for many people across our globe, and to celebrate what we are doing in this country, but to understand that the journey on this issue never ends, always continues, and we need to continually to be part of it and never take what we have built and are building for granted. It's now my opportunity to welcome to the pulpit of Fairlawn Avenue United Church, Ziva Gorani. Ziva is a Syrian Kurdish trans woman. She currently works with the Peel HIV AIDS Network. She graduated from the university with a degree in computer science, majoring in artificial intelligence. I'd like to talk to you about that another time. She is also an artist and a painter, and she is here to tell her story, and we'll have a conversation after she speaks. So welcome so much here to Fairlawn. Yes, that mic. There's a mic there. You're good.
Okay. Oh. Okay. I'm a transgender Kurdish Syrian refugee that has come to Canada via Turkey under sponsorship from the Canadian government. I'm here to speak to you about a story of a Syrian queer. My story. I just want to remind you, I'm not a representative of a Syrian LGBTQ community. I'm here as a one example in a very diverse and colorful community. I grew up in a conservative Kurdish family, and the conservative part has no relation to religion here. It's the culture and the customs that, while they form the beauty of the Kurdish identity, it also can be a burden or a chain that stops one from living in freedom following their own biologically born identity. I was born within the minority that face and still facing external discrimination from the government. Later on, at a very young age, I knew I even belonged to an even smaller group because my gender does not match the gender assigned at birth. I knew then my life will only get harder and harder. To spare you the drama, I won't go into details, but my childhood ceased to exist with the first time I was raped. I had to keep my mouth shut every time, or my family would know and I would be the one to be blamed. I came out to my parents about my gender identity when I was 18, thinking that I did the right step, but I wasn't fully aware of the consequences. I spent years after living many days of physical and emotional abuse. My father micromanaged every step I took outside of the home, and those were just the days where I was allowed to go out. On other days, I would be kicked out of the house for days on end with no money or no food. And that was my life I had to tolerate until I was able to leave home and eventually leave Syria altogether. After the revolution, it only took 1 or 2 years for people like me to be targeted by any military or armed group. On days I had to go to school, I had to hide some of my feminine features to be able to pass checkpoints. I was terrified every time I was stopped, but luckily I made it. After moving to Turkey, I was done with keeping myself in the closet. I came out publicly as a queer, and my life was officially limited to any sort of freedom of expression. Having friends was not an easy task, and even if I had them, they would want me to keep, they would want me to want be seen with me. Otherwise, they would have to be judged for being friends with the sissy boys who was a girl inside. I kept trying to fit, to match everyone's expectation of me, to be able to have friends, to have a job, and also not be killed. But none of that worked out. I still ended up being sexually molested by my former employer. It was then when I realized how far I went to please people. This incident was the wake-up slap, and soon after my transitioning journey started, opening doors of self-acceptance and adding more layers of violence as well, until I ended up being accepted and I was brought here to Canada. I got here alone. I had already lost my family and then lost friends I had around me for the 2 years I lived in Turkey. I had no source of income except what the government was giving me every month. My hormone levels were enough to kill me at any moment as a result of self-medication. And another transitioning journey started to find some sense of stability. I don't want to speak about my story just for sake of making you feel sorry. I'm here as a one example of a Syrian LGBTQ newcomer. Many, many have similar stories, and it takes strength for us to stand here in front of you on our own feet with our head held high. We're asked to be independent, to go out, to find our way, to present the good image of a refugee. We're expected to find a job, a place to live, have many Canadian friends, and speak cute broken English. We all know this is not the reality. Even though on some level I match that image with less broken English, but I am not a fair representation of my folks. The majority come from a broken, war-torn lands, forces out from our homes, from our family, from our friends. We're still living in the survival mode, unable to let our guards down. How can we understand the new culture we are in? We don't know why read in present tense is still spelled read in the past. Being here was not a choice. We had to run away for our lives. So please don't forget that fact about Syrian LGBTQ community. Outside forces forced this condition in our lives. We have the right to the opportunities afforded anyone else in life, while there's so many injustices in this world. And this is just a dream of a dreamer, every single baby should be born into love, nurture, freedom, and opportunity regardless to their sexuality, color, or place of birth. As you all might dealt closely or remotely with a Syrian queer, or you are in contact currently, know that their smile takes so much more work in the morning to put it on. And they are ready to live, to love, to bring happiness into their lives and lives of others. They just haven't figured it out yet. They're still trying to plant their roots again to thrive. Personally, I just came across the right people since my arrival here. My story would totally be different, and I wouldn't even be here today. So I'm thankful, grateful, and in debt of their generosity and unconditional love. It took individuals like you who care enough to be here and listen to me to make my life better. So I just want to tell you thank you for being here, and thank you for inviting me. I hope that I gave a deeper understanding to why you may be facing misunderstanding or emotional damage or reluctancy from Syrian LGBTQ people that you're dealing with as caregivers. One last point. Yesterday I was on the phone with a gay Syrian guy who's dealing with so much post-trauma effects that he ended up isolating himself in his room. I don't want to claim to be a counselor, but however, I'm just speaking of what I sense in his turbulent voice. He told me, "I feel injustice." This might have been exaggeration for some of you, but I keep hearing this word, and when I first said it, I thought I'm being dramatic. However, there are reasons for that. The difficulty he's dealing with is huge. He doesn't speak the language. The school he was sent doesn't know how to teach English to Arabic speaker. And he's even isolated from Syrian communities. He's living in Canada, has nowhere to turn. No friends to talk to, no one to teach him the language and help him get a job. His needs the compassion and understanding that opened Canada doors to him with the promise of a better life. His struggle is not over. It wasn't enough for him to get here. He needs our support now more than ever. His struggle has simply changed into a new struggle. He needs your help in order to assimilate into our wonderful society. These barriers must be overcome. I won't take more of your time. I only want to leave you with the hope that we all together can help each other and be a healing hand for those who had already lived such a life of full of pain and heartache. And wish you a happy Pride Week. Thank you.
So one of the challenges that you spoke about was overcoming trauma. And that with Syrian newcomers, no matter what their story, you're dealing with a traumatized people who have experienced trauma and are coming into a society, into this culture, dealing with the trauma, the culture shock, the orientation issues. And as a community here that has done a lot of work with Syrian newcomers, it'd still be helpful for us to hear, what is it that we can do specifically as community and as individuals to help people deal with the trauma of this in this transition, the trauma that they've brought with them as a result of their experiences? How can we be that healing community you spoke of?
Yeah, so mainly what I was like, the point of this is like saying that understanding where they're coming from. This is the main point. Like, you have to know, like, and also like not make assumptions. I just give one example that many different stories there exist in there within the Syrian queer community. And this is the first point, is understanding where they're coming from deeply and not putting assumptions or like not, and also like let them find their own way and find their own journey, because you can't push them through a journey. They're still having a long way of like dealing with trauma, and it's gonna take time for them to overcome that, to find themselves. And I was just actually telling my friend this morning, I just like in the 8 months, I arrived here 8 months ago exactly. And I feel like I'm totally a different person. I feel like I'm a totally person like 8 months ago to now. So it takes time. It takes just understanding and acceptance of all the characteristics. What, you know, like, so for them to find their ways and to be able to thrive in this community.
So one last question.
Okay.
What has been your most pleasant surprise in your 8 months here since you've come to Canada? What's given you joy? What's been your most pleasant surprise or unexpected thing that happened for you?
I would say, like, I don't know, like, I feel like, I mean, there's no one joyful, pleasant surprise, but I would say that I always end up like really meeting amazing people who like brings just balance and stability and happiness into my life. And I feel like every time I meet one of these people, I feel like it's a surprise. I don't know, like personally, this is me. So like those people that I would never imagine myself like meeting them. I feel like sometimes, God, I think that I'm here in Canada, I would have never met them before.
Well, welcome. We're delighted that you're part of Canada. And let's show our appreciation again.